Today is February 8th, and Kohelet tells us some things that are better than others. Who in his right mind would say Kaas is better than Sechok? If I go about my drushes on Shabbos and show anger instead of a little bit of lightheartedness and good feelings, they want to leave that not feeling angry. They want to leave my sermon feeling upbeat. No. So what is Kohelet telling us? Kaas is better than Sechok. Better to hear the rebuke of a chacham than the compliment of a person who's just kissing up to you. Who says so? Right? Or like a Maimar Chazal, better is the slap of your friend than the kiss of your enemy. Right? The good advice that Rechavam's Zakenim gave him, which was to, you know, give in a little bit. Remember, we did that last class with the Targum, first Targum. The good advice was better than the bad advice of the Yeladim, who told him to stand firm. Because the Yeladim were telling him to build, and the Zakenim was telling him to break down. Better the breaking down of smart and wise people than the building of fools. You get all that, right? Okay, but who's going to... Tovach v'istavar me'reishis so. Better is the end of things than the beginning of things. Really? I like the beginning of a vacation better than the end of a vacation. Maybe it depends what you're talking about. I like the end of a school year better than the beginning of a school year. I mean, I'm not talking about me. I love teaching here, but most students are going to say, I love June more than September,
Definitely.
Unless you're living in Australia. But all right, so, but all these things are, you get a sense, better to go to a house of mourning than to a house than to a shepherd of us. Really? Who in his right mind in the history of mankind says, I enjoyed the Shiva call more than the shepherd brachas? Right? I enjoyed the funeral more than the wedding. Who says that? Right? Such psukim can only appear in a book that says Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet. No other book in Tanakh would suffer such a statement. Not even Eov. But remember also that Kohelet peppers these statements all over the book with things like marry, get married, have a wife that, or if you're a woman, have a husband that will love you and cherish you and give you more reason to prepare for another good day, even though your life stinks and even though the terrible things are happening, right? Look, until recently, right, life really stunk, right? 100 years ago, you died at 45 of tooth decay. 46 was life expectancy in this country in 1900. Look how much we have indoor plumbing, refrigeration. Even poor people are traveling by plane often. When did they get this? $99, you can take a plane someplace on a special sale. Who ever heard of such a thing? Right? 30 years ago, a flight anywhere was more than it is today, you know? Anyway, I'm just saying that we have comforts that are so much better today than forward. Most people, even look in today's world, 2 billion people don't have fresh water to drink today, right? And they're worried about getting home from school unharmed, or from where they work unharmed. What I mean by harm is serious harm, right? So we've made a lot of problems for ourselves. He's just saying, listen. Human being. It's not a question of what you're going to enjoy more. No one in his right mind says that you're enjoying this more than that. But I'm telling you that this book is written for you to gain as much as you can from this existence. Mishlei is about taking control. Kohelet is about being in the mindset so that you can take control. Right? Kohelet is pessimistic about the possibilities, but Mishlei is very optimistic. The two books should really be read together. Right? Okay. Right? So Mishlei is very optimistic. Tehillim is like a combination. You get it? You have the realism of Tehillim. Okay, so what these things mean is that look for the meaning in things. Which are you waking up having more meaning in your day? A good dream or a bad dream? Right? What has more meaning to contemplate whether better to be born or not to be born? All these things together, especially with the Marsha's explanation I gave last class, right? Remember with the more mitzvahs losa say, nimna v'gamru means they counted the mitzvahs. And the Torah drew the conclusion that it's just so much easier for the human being to be a Rasha than a Tzaddik. So, you know, what's the fight about? What's the struggle? The struggle is, you have to struggle. Life is not fair, get on with it. It's a message that Cain should have gotten the day he became jealous of Hevel. Life is not fair, stop complaining about it, because that complaint is going to make it worse. You're going to turn from anger to depression, and you're not going to get out of it. Right? That's what all these talks are about, okay? Enough said for that beginning of Perek Zayin. Okay? Perek Zayin, look at the bottom of the first column, it says, Yesh tzadik oveid b'tzidko. Yesh tzadik oveid b'tzidko. Ben Ezra says on that pasuk something astounding. Ben Ezra says, it's not just that tzadik draws to a bad end. He gets killed. He gets harmed. Right? How does that happen, God? Tzaddik is supposed to... That's just an elementary expectation of Avraham. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. You following, right? How can you allow the tzaddik and the rasha to share the same fate? V'hayokha tzaddik karasha. And then Avraham changes direction, right? Remember that? He changes from just praying for the tzaddik, because the implication of will you kill the Rasha, the tzaddik together with the Rasha implies kill the Rasha God, I don't care about that, but don't kill the tzaddik with him. I'm trying to get people to be tzaddikim, and if they share the same fate, they're not going to be as sophisticated as I am about this. I have nuance, I can figure, okay, they'll get the leaving out, right, but these people are not going to continue to be tzaddikim that I'm trying to direct if you kill the tzaddik and the Rasha. Then Avram changes ground, right? He changes to say, God, if there are 50 righteous people here, maybe we can save everybody. Under what grounds? The tzaddikim will influence the Rishayim. That's why Avram says, listen carefully, this will come up soon. Ulayish hamishim tzaddikim besocha ir. What do you have to say? Ulayish hamishim tzaddikim sham. Ulayish hamishim tzaddikim bestone. What's this? Ulayish hamishim tzaddikim besocha ir. Ibn Ezra even says on that pasuk, if the tzaddikim are besocha ir, you get it? Get the homily? If they're in the midst of things, they're not hiding out in their places. They're right in the center of town. They might, who knows? They have a shop that says, you know, come in here and for classes. You know, who knows? Maybe things can turn around, all the way down to 10. Okay. So Ibn Ezra on the pasuk Yesh Tzadik Oveid B'Tzidko, he says he is Oveid because of his Tzidkus. His Tzidkus causes him to be lost. Can you explain? Mapitom. Because, think of it, his Tzidkus does not allow him to resort to what a Rasha may do to survive. You get the point? The Rasha does certain things, and he's not going to ask any questions. Remember, it's such a heart-wrenching question in Mimamakim. It was asked on the second day of Rosh Hashanah by a Hungarian man who said, they have a convoy of 400 boys, and my son's on it. I know, they take him straight to the ovens. So, if I have a way to get my son off, I know someone here. Am I allowed to get him off? He asked Rav Oshri, who wrote, after the war, survived and wrote Mimamakim, Chuvas that he had experienced in the Holocaust. Right? So, Rav Oshri didn't tell him what to do. Rav Oshri wouldn't tell him. Okay. He understood from that 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 means I can't take my son off the line. His son was killed that day. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, you read about the Akedah, he said, I gave up my son like Avram was ready to. Because if I take my son off,
someone else
is going to take up the number 400. They get their number 400. That's what they need now. They're very punctilious and scrupulous about that. So a Rosh is not going to... A Rosh? No one but a Tzaddik is going to ask that question. There is, I'm sure there are plenty of people between Tzaddik and Rosh. Right? So Yesh Tzaddik Oveid B'Tzidko. So God, how do you allow that to happen? Because the Tzaddik can be so sophisticated as to say, I'm so torn apart by this decision I made. But better to make this decision, Tzaddik, than to have to live with the consequences of not making that decision. And look, even if he took his son off of that 400, his son could be on the next detail the next day.
That's true.
Right? Maybe if he was 100% certain of taking him off would make us both survive, I don't want to surmise such a thing. But you know what I'm saying is that I don't want to live with that dishonor and disgrace that I did that. So that's what Ibn Ezra says there. Let's continue. And he says after everything, he's starting to draw to conclusions of the book, right? Is that with everything involved, Chochmah is still superior. That's what he says in Pasuk Yutes. HaChochmah ta'oz lechocham me'asara shalitim sherayu ba'ir. You know, in the beginning of the book, he said that Chochmah leads to more pain. Chochmah does not answer your problems. Right? Remember our four readers? Chochmah, Yamel, Nehene, and Yirei Shamayim. Really, the Navi. Okay. Every pasuk in this book falls into one of these four categories. Who's going to give us the most meaning in life? Of course, it could be that. Depends where you are, what you are, your age, and sometimes you may be all four. But what they're arguing for in this book is it possible that you can find meaning in life exclusively with this thing? Right? Okay. I consider this pasuk, Perek Zayin, pasuk Chof, to be one of the crucial psukim of the entire book. Ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. See Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph, Tosfos Shabbos Nun Hei. Just be aware of what this is going to do. It's going to take us a long time to pursue this. But you see that they underlined the word ba'aretz. In other words, it's Shlomo's admission. Listen carefully to this pasuk, very famous pasuk. Im avomnos tishmorya Adonai miyamod. It's our acknowledgement that if you would guard our iniquities, God, who could stand before you? Even Eov acknowledges that. Eov says, you know, like Eov's friend said, Ha'anosh me Elohai Yitzhak, shall man be more righteous than God? Eov throughout his book agrees that God has the power, God has the might and the knowledge, but I still maintain that I do not deserve this kind of suffering. He's right. The reader knows he's right. And what he asks is not... He says, I can deal with all this loss. I can deal with all the physical pain. I can't deal with my three friends being so sure that they know me better than I do that I deserve this. They're not judging me with kafschus. Right? It says, Heveidon is kol ha'odon with kafschus. Not Heveidon is kol adon with kafschus. You see the difference between the two? Not everyone deserves to be judged with kafschus. You can buy your actions. Not deserve to be judged for kafsos, right? So, have a done is called ha'odon the kafsos. Can you feel it? Judge the entirety of the person. Can you judge me that way? Why would I say no?
I don't know.
You don't know me entirely. Yeah. Right? Who's the only person you know entirely? And you always judge yourself, Rav Swiss.
That's true.
Always make an excuse for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Is what I, of course, I know. No, it doesn't mean that you can sometimes say, I'm sorry, I did, I made a mistake. That's okay. But so when you, if you don't know the entire person, then give him the benefit of some doubt, right? Okay? So, Lemaisa, I'm going to approach this from these two sources. See, Sanhedrin Kuvalov, I'm going to start with that. Okay? Rabbi Eliezer is very sick in bed. It must be the story, but before he was put at the Cherev of Mitzir, but this is Sanhedrin Dav Kufalov, and four of his students come to visit him. And they're all crying and shedding tears over the loss of the Torah of Rabbi Eliezer, and etc., etc. Rabbi Kiva is laughing and smiling. And Rabbi Eliezer says to him, what gives you pleasure in seeing my suffering? He says, Rabbi, I always saw you succeed in everything you did. Your Torah, your investments, your relationships, everything you did is perfect. I'm worried that you're eating all your peros in Olam Hazeh. Now that you're suffering, I'm happy to see that whatever you did wrong in this life, you're getting your just desserts now, and your life in the next world will be so perfect, with no suffering whatsoever. Rabbi Eliezer picks himself up in bed and says, Akiva, tell me what I've done to deserve this kind of suffering. And he said, Limadetenu Rabbeinu, ki odom ein tzadik baretz, asher yaseh tov, lo yechta. Maybe you taught us. So, and that's the end of the story. It's a pella. One, to talk to anybody this way is called onas devarim in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes. It's interesting because that's why the story of Rabbi Eliezer is brought out there, because the rabbi said that the way they told him he's in Cherem seemed to smack of onas devarim. All right? So how could a Talmud tell this to a rabbi? That's what Eov's friends are doing. Hashem says at the end, you're going to die if Eov doesn't pray for you because you didn't speak well of me the way Eov did. What? God, did you just read this book I just read? Eov, the three friends, did nothing but kiss up to God. It's Eov who toyed with a little heresy here and there about God's ways. The Gemara says, we understand when someone with that kind of suffering says those kind of things. Haski lo l'daber b'shem Hashem, says Amos at those times. It's not a time to bring up God. So what does it mean? Perhaps we can say that it does not speak well of God to always put all the burden of man's suffering on his own shoulders. Sometimes you get things that are not due to your own shoulders, your own actions, so to say, but for something else that you don't understand. Does the ant know why his anthill just was run over by a weasel or a person? Does the ant know why he was basking in this wonderful heated sunlight and all of a sudden there's a shade?
So in other words, it's like a way of selling God short by limiting him to our understanding of justice.
Correct. That's what the three friends did.
Right.
But Avraham does get his way. God will allow us to be engaged. Right? Here's the amoeba, here's the ant, here's us. And God is on the other side of the ocean. Right. Okay. So let's get back to what the questions on Rabbi Akiva. This is a technical point, but I think it's still a good question. Why did Rabbi Akiva say to his Rebbe, "Rebbe, limadetenu, you taught us ki odomei tzadik baretz asher yaseh lo yechta"? Surely, when you quote a pasuk in Tanakh, he should have said, "Rebbe, you want me to explain why you're suffering? Haloksiv shenemar ki odomei tzadik limadetenu Rabbeinu." You didn't teach us that, Shlomo did. All right, it's not number one. Still a question. Plus, you don't talk to a Rebbe this way, right? It's not a way to talk to a Rebbe. It's called a Nos Devarim in the Mishnah, right? And a technical question also on the pasuk. What is that Oretz? Ki adomei tzadik ba'oretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. Can you be a tzadik in a tree? Or in the water? What do you mean, ki adomei tzadik ba'oretz? I may be nitpicking, but it's an extra word in the pasuk that it really didn't have to be there. Right? Can you see how I might explain that word ba'aretz in light of the word Besoch HaIr in Sodom. Because there's another story in Yirmiyahu Perakei. You know Yirmiyahu? In chapter 5, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, Shotetu b'chutzos Yerushalayim. Go out into the streets of Jerusalem and check. Find me even one tzaddik and I'll save Yerushalayim. Shotetu b'chutzos Yerushalayim. We know what to do. Bakshubu b'chutzos Yerushalayim. Tu ish in Yeshu. Sem mishpat m'vakeshim. We're not. Veslach lo. I'll forgive you if you find one tzaddik. What's the obvious implication since God did not forgive Yerushalayim?
There's no tzaddik.
He didn't find that person. It wasn't even one person. B'chutzos Yerushalayim. So the Radak, actually Rashi and Tehillim, they ask a question from this pasuk. Chapter 89 of Tehillim is a prophetic vision of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's very explicit. You either hold that David wrote it prophetically and put it aside so no one should know, or it was written by Ezra or someone else after, like Shir Malas B'Shuv Hashem, Shivas Tzion, Ha'inu Kechomim, or Al Naros Babel Shem Yerushav, Nugam Bochinu B'Zochreinu Es Tzion. Why would David just building Yerushalayim now sing a song about its destruction? All right, these are questions, these are authorship questions about Tehillim that we discussed when we did authorship in the other class. Listen to this pasuk. Ready? Mizmor la'asaf, Elokim, ba'u goyim b'nachlasecha, timu es heichal kodshecha, samu es Yerushalayim le'iyim. Yerushalayim is in heaps. Nosnu es nivlasach odecha ma'achol lo'uf ha'shamayim b'sar chasidecha l'chayiso aretz. Mr. Kasha? Why weren't these Avodim and Chassidim able to save Yerushalayim here? Radak asks this question and says, there were plenty of Chassidim, Tzadikim, and Avdei Hashem in Yerushalayim at the time, but they were not Bechutzos Yerushalayim. He says, Shotetu Bechutzos Yerushalayim. Radak says they were all hiding in their homes, afraid to make an influence anywhere. All evil needs to succeed is for righteous people to just sit on their hands. Okay. What's the Tosfos here that I gave you? Tosfos says that there were four people who never sinned. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Nun Hey, at the end of the first paragraph in Bava Basra, that four people never sinned. Are you familiar with the tradition? You know who they are?
Binyamin
is first.
One of David's sons.
Kilav. You skipped Amram.
Amram,
Moshe's father. And Yishai, David's father. Yishai. So, a few things. One, these four people are in Chazal noted for profound lethargy and passivity. These are not active people. They're passive people. These four never sinned. And who would you rather have on your biblical dream team? Binyamin or Yosef? Yosef HaTzadik. Amram or Moshe? Yishai or David? Kilav or Shlomo? One of these four. Why these four? Answer is, you can live a whole life without sinning. In fact, when the Gemara mentions this Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Nun Hey asks the question, how can you say poor people never sin? What about Ki Adamei Tzadik Baratz Asher Yisrael Tov Lo Yechta? I must say, I like my answer more than Tosfos, but Tosfos would have had to really write a long perush in order to put forth this idea. Tosfos just says, there could be some people who never sin. The Pasuk is talking about most people. Most people can't live without sin. Right? You see it? I would give a different answer. No. Ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz. If you're ba'aretz, like Yosef, like Moshe, Moshe would have loved to live a life like his father in passivity without hitting the rock and getting into Israel and never sinning. He was more equipped with never sin, but when you're out there, Deborah, you get it? When you're out there ba'aretz, when you're out there besoch ha'ir helping others, you're going to lose some of your own sinfulness. Now you see what Rabbi Kiva was telling Rabbi Eliezer. Limadetenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, you taught us that's a better way to be. I could kiss up to you and say you're like Binyamin and Kilav and Amram and Yishai and say I also wonder like my classmates why you're suffering. But that would betray the way you taught us to be. because the Maritain. Now you see why it's not Shnemar, unless the Maritain. Right? Okay. So it answers all the questions. And I think it's a better teretz to the Pasuk. These four were not the Haaretz, as you would find if you looked in rabbinic literature about them. Okay? Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Amarti ech kema v'hiruchu kami meni. We're making a choice here between this and this. And he is admitting between chachma and yirah shemayim. He's admitting that yirah and nevuah is better than chachma. Even though there's a gemara in Bava Basra in the first parak, it says v'tavi levav chachma. Chochma is a path towards Nebuah, as the Rambam writes in Mon Buchen. Right? There is a Gemara in Mesechus Shabbos. This is more the end of Bava Basra. There's a Gemara in Mesechus Shabbos that talks about the relative strengths of Nebuah and Chochma. And Rashi says you need Chochma to be a Navi, Shemar, the Navi Lebav Chochma. He quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra. The thing is, the reason why I'm telling you this is because Rashi's Perush on Tehillim, he says that this word does not mean a Navi has to have a heart of Chachma. This word means, and we will bring to our hearts Chachma. Get it? V'Navi, missing the Yod, so we will bring to our hearts Chachma. The word isn't referring to a Navi. All right, Rashi in the Gemara is explaining Pesukim from the standpoint of the Gemara. Rashi in his parish is more pshat. Alright, fine. So it is after all a drasha of the Gemara to say this. Right? But he says, Amarti echkema, I try to be smart, but it's very distant from me. I couldn't achieve it. Couldn't achieve my goals through Chacham. So what does the Gemara say about his achievement of goals? The Gemara in Yuma Daf Yudalid says that he tried to figure out the secret of Torah Aduma through Chachma, and he couldn't. But he did figure it out from Nevuah. Torah Aduma is attainable through Nevuah, but not through Chachma. That I must tell you is not in the Gemara Yuma, that's in Bamidbar Rabba. Bamidbar Rabba says that you can attain the understanding of Torah Aduma through Nevuah, but not through Chachma. Moshe understood it, because he was the quintessential Navi. Shlomo did not. He approaches Kohelet from Chachma. So he says, "Ma'ati Yechkema, the Hebrew will come in. I can't figure it out through Chachma. I'll try through Nevuah." What does this mean? I'm going to do this quickly. Hear it. What was the sin of the Egel? Why is it that after 3,000 people were killed in the aftermath of the Egel, it must be that those 3,000 did something a lot worse than all the others. Can't believe that just 3,000 indiscriminately were killed. It means these 3,000 deserved something much worse than all the others who weren't killed. What'd they do? And why is it that after those 3,000 were killed, did Moshe look to the survivors and said, "Atem chatosem chato'o gedolo, you've sinned a great grievous sin. And now let me tell you what's going to happen." Right? We did this. We did this with the Parah Aduma. Remember with those psukim? Remember?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, we did it. We did it before. Yeah, I gave you out some sources. If you have it here. Can you talk about? Why does the Parah Aduma... Remember the Yedenu Lo Shafchu by Egla Rufa? You know what I'm talking about? No. This is Yerub and Rambo. Higher and lower. Okay, but... See. So that's what it is. Remember those? Why is it Einu Lo Shaku instead of Hey? Why do you feminize Chet Gadol to Chato'a Gedola? Right, you behave in a passive way, you let everybody sin without doing anything about it, right? You get that? So why does Rashi say that Paraduma is a chukas without any explanation, and then he goes about giving every bit of an explanation of the ego in of the I'm sorry, the Paraduma in light of the ego. Right? Ring the bell now? Right? So the answer is, why does the Egel still need kapara? Whoever worshipped it was killed. The answer is, Hashem holds everybody responsible for what other people are doing in their midst. Ibn Ezra in Parshas Kedoshim says, why does it say lo tignovu? Because if you see someone stealing and you don't say anything, you're stealing too. Kol Yisrael Reven Zebazet, and if you don't fulfill you'll have some sin also. Right. Hashem tells that to Yechezkel significantly in chapter 3 of his book. He tells Yechezkel that I'm holding you responsible if you don't get people to do tshuva. Or I'm sorry, if you don't try to get people to do tshuva. If you try and you don't succeed, okay, you save yourself. But if you don't go out there and tell them make yourselves better, I hold you responsible. That's somewhat true, we're saying here, about everybody. Because can't you picture everybody saying, I'm not making myself tummy to help that person become Tohar. Let everyone wallow away in their tumah. Every single Kohen will say, not in my backyard, not on my watch. Why should I have to make myself tummy to get that shlub to be Tohar? Let him watch himself better next time. Right? So Amar Diach Tumav Yeruchal Kami Men means that you can't explain through logic, because Paraduma is illogical. That you tell someone, make yourself tummy to help make that person talk. Right? But it is nevuah, because what does the Navi do? Chachma is moral neutral. You could have a Chacham who's, there are lots of smart people who have been wicked. Right? But the Yirei Shamayim, the Navi, says, I give of myself to try to make people better. Right? I don't mean the prophet here, but the Navi's job, Dafka the Navi's job, Bilam was also a seer or a prophet, a kosein. He also had koichos, but he wasn't a Navi, because a Navi's job is to use his mouth to make people better. Barei nivs fasayim. The roeh or the chozeh does not use his mouth. Right? Nosanat Navi talks a lot more than Shmuel and God. But big as it may, I mean to public forum. But all right, but the point I'm making is that nevuah can explain the paraduma. The says this. Medrash Bamid Rabbah says the same about the Azazel. The guy who pushes the Azazel over becomes tummy. Right? While he's trying to make everyone else holy and pure and forgiven, he hurts himself. That's not logical. Only the Navi can explain that, because that's what the Navi does. Every Navi who has ever lived, maybe except Yeshayahu, who would prefer to just fulfill his own spirituality. Was he have to become such a mockery and such an object of derision to try to get people to be better? Okay, you get that? That's where the break between Chachma and Nevuah. I think we'll stop with this, because this next thing is too long. We're going to continue. You see where we are? Zayin Chavav? See on the.
Yeah.
All right, that's where we're going to continue next time. And I really do. The rest of the stuff is snippets. So we'll finish for us.